で、多分その春ぐらい1966年の春ぐらいに、フロイドを見た、ジェナさんが、しかしどういうふうに、フロイドに近寄っていくのかという、そのあたりが次のパート2になります。パート2のお話は先に紹介すると、ロンドンフリースクールはノッティングヒルでいろんなイベントをしたりニュースレーターを出したりするんですが、後にノッティングヒルカーニバルとして展開するそういうイベントの最初の頃を立ち上げたりしているんですが、資金がもう尽きてしまい、それでなんとか捻出しなければいけないというので、秋に、オールセントチャージホールという教会のホールで、コンサートライブショーを何度かします。それによってお客さんをこう集めて、いろいろこう資金を、ね、集めていくという、募金も集めていくという、そういうイベントを企画します。さてこの教会でというのがなかなか日本ではイメージできないかと思うんですが、ピーターさんの次のお話はどうやってこの教会 の、 ピンク・フロイドのライブがこう出来上がっていったのかとか、その背景、ピーターさん自身の、背景も語っています、今度は音楽なしで、まずはそのパート2を聞いていただいてから、また次のお話と音楽に行きたいと思います。トムさん R3 よろしくお願いします。
And one of the things in my case that came from it was we did a gig、at the All Saints Hall, which, as my father was, had been a vicar, so it was a church hall. So I knew, of all of them, I had a bit of experience. I knew that churches had halls and that they were always short of money. Because my father had been a vicar and he'd always had a church hall.And it was on the one hand, it was a social thing, and on the other hand, it was a revenue thing. So my father had always put on at his church halls, there would be wish drives or dances or youth clubs and things like that. And I think it was the tradition as well from the church, the local parish church would have a hall, you know, so that you'd go on Sunday and you'd pray, and on Friday and Saturday, you might go and have fun.It was a social place, exactly, which was attached to the church. And often the money that had built the church was also used to build the church hall. Anyway, that's a deviation. But my father, because he was a vicar, was always involved with putting on events. And as I got older, I went to the events and got to see it. So I knew that, you know, if you put on something, people would come in.Often, if it was very expensive. So that was the principle. That's why, I was involved with saying, let's do an event at the All Saints Hall. And I don't know whether I or somebody else went to see the vicar, but I said, look, I think that we'll be able to rent that. As we were based in that area, all around Paris Square, it would be a great place for us to do an event and to sort of bring us together. And at the same time, Hoppy had brought over these...Lights people from San Francisco. So at the first of those events at the UFO, at the All Saints Hall, the first UFO, was Mick Fallon and the Social Deviants and the Pink Floyd, because I had a band. I said, well, you know, let's put my band on. I started vaguely working with them. So I said, oh, I've got a gig for you. Oh, great. So they came along.So they were there, they were the band at the first UFO event. Very important, because in a way that sort of set off the combination of the London Free School and International Times and UFO. It unleashed the whole underground scene in London.
At that time, you already knew Pink Floyd.
Yes, well, partly because I knew we were putting on this event.But yes, I'd seen the Pink Floyd and I'd liked them. And I'd already, you see, in the London Free School with Hoppy, we were trying to do a label called DNA.
And oh, yeah.
With AMM. I bet you've got that record.
Yeah.
That was financed by Felix Mendelssohn and Hoppe and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, we were going to have a label called DNA.
1966, you were a lecturer and also involved in the Notting Hill and also music.
Yeah, I was a music fan.
Not as a manager, just a fan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, I was on the scene, you know.
Yeah.
I, you know, when I was at college, I hung out with musicians a lot. You know, there was university musicians in Cambridge. Hank was part of that. So it's part of my sense of social thing, Hank Wangford, as it is for government.
And All Saints Hall, that the... You know, well, that when you were a child, you know, the, you learn from your fathers,
yeah,
that there's a good place for music.
Well, yeah, but that you could, you know, people, a local thing, that was a capacity, I don't know, 200, 250. And it was full the first night, I was really surprised. And then the second night we did it, it was, you know, you couldn't get in. So that's when Joe and Hoppy found the...
The UFO Club?
Yeah, it was UFO Club in Tottenham Court Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's underneath where the cinema used to be, yeah.
The first time was, how many people came?
I would imagine a couple of hundred.
How did you advertise?
I suppose just put up a few posters, and then word of mouth, probably, because, you know, we would all know three or four people, and it was, that social scene, it was the London Free School, so there were sort of like about 20 of us involved in it, and so if we all bought five people, that was 100 people, sort of thing, with partners and things and friends. So it was that sort of basis, and again, because of people like Miles, we're very connected with the music papers picked up on it, so the Melody Maker picked up on it, and we started in September, and by sort of December, the Floyd had a middle page spread in the Melody Maker in their sort of special Christmas edition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the hot band to follow.
Oh, 1966.
So that was it, sort of just took off really fast. Mm-hmm. And there was also a thing in Queen magazine, which was very important.
At that time, you was not manager of the...
Yeah, by then, I mean, we became their managers fairly early on because, you know, we found the band, Bernard Stallman, we found out where they lived, so we went, Andrew and I thought Andrew would be my partner in the management, so because I was working at the university still, and he wasn't working, he had more casual work, he was working with people, and I had my proper, you know, gig at the university, so I had to do that. I was very conscientious, it has to be said. I was able to do it in my spare time, manage the band with Andrew. So between us, we sort of managed the band. Then his girlfriend, later wife, had a she was an artist, and so she had a studio, and that's where Blackhill ended up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in just off the Porchester Road, and that was Alexander Street.
Mm-hmm.
Then to Alexander Street, and that's where we set up Blackhill. So I started it, then his girlfriend, and she was getting a studio with her. She'd been at art school, so she with some friends, they wanted a studio, but then they couldn't really afford a whole house and a studio, so he moved in, Andrew moved in there with her. They found a place with her friends to be have a studio, and then we also, in that place, we had our offices. And that's also in that place, close to Alexander Street, was also where a Stiff Records started. And that's where we started with Elvis Costello started there. The office, his first office, and Ian Jurian started there. And then just down the road, we rented another place where there was a Wasted Talent, the agency, booking agency set up. And then they brought in The Clash, and so that's where that was all sort of around there. Again, it was all based on our sort of, that area was part of an area I'd always worked in, and it's just across a railway line.
Mm-hmm.
There's a railway bridge which went from where I live, which is in Edward Road, which is up that direction, down the Harrow Road about.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all very close.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Blackhill closed about a year later, that I got a job with Charisma Records, and then I could ride my bicycle into town. You know, we did the Floyd, and when the Floyd, we broke up with the Floyd, or the Floyd broke up with us, whatever happened. Then Blackhill continued, and then that dissolved, and then Sincere. And in this room, this was where the first office of Sincere, the table, it was all on there. Yeah. You know, we all sat around here. Mm-hmm. Very influenced by Chris Blackwell, because Chris Blackwell had a scene like that. And Island Records had one building where they had a studio and their offices, and they all sat around a big table, and, you know.
ピーター・ジェーンヌさんの、パート2の、部分でしたが、今度は、先ほど言いましたように、ロンドンフリースクールがノッティングヒルの中にある教会のホールで、いろいろコンサートを開いて、そこでピンク・フロイドとか、いろんなバンドが演奏したりすることになるんですが、ちょっと普通に考えたら教会のホールでロックというか、その時の最先端というかの音楽を、ライブを作るっていうのはちょっと考えにくい感じがするんですが、なぜピーターさんがそういうのに関わっていたのかということなんですが、それをピーターさん自身が説明しているように、お父さんが英国国教会の牧師さんで、小さい頃から教会っていう場所が結構いろんなイベントをして、地域の人とか集まってきて、あるいは時々はファンドライジングもするような、そういうことが可能な場所で、ライブに持ってこいだということを体験上知っていたと。でそこと、さっきもマッキーとか出てきましたが、ピーターさん自身が、ジャズが好きで、いろんなところに音楽を聴きに行ったり、あるいはその友達のつながりの中で、アーティストを知っていたり、それがくっついて66年の秋、いくつかのライブが成立をして、その続きで、だんだんのめり込んでいって、ピーターさんはピンク・フロイドのマネージメントの仕事をするようになるし、同時に、長い友人であるアンドリュー・キングという人と一緒にブラックヒル・エンタープライズというそのミュージック事務所を立ち上げていくという、そういう、話で、それで同じ頃ホッピーとジョーがジョイ・ボーイについては先週トークをお届けしましたが、1966年の12月にロンドンで UFO クラブという、こう日本語で言うのはライブハウスみたいなものを立ち上げていくんですが、そこで、ピンク・フロイドのライブも、たくさん行われるようになるという流れについてのお話でした。立石さん、いかがですか？なかなか聞き取りにくい部分も多かったと思いますが、
そうですね、このオールセインツ教会、まあ、多分今でも確かあるんですけど、僕まだ見たことはないんですけれども、記録によると、なんか、まあ、ノッティングヒルではね、すごく待ち合わせの場所としても使われていたと、僕はその地区ではとても大事な場所で、でまあこの後にはやっぱミュージカルとか演劇とか結構上演されることにもなってたと。でもう一個言うと、ここは当時からロンドンにおけるこの未就学児童用の保育園の走りみたいなところもあったみたいな、だからそういう本当に地域のやっぱコミュニティを作っていく場所として、まあずっとあったっていうか、そういうまあ背景もあったから、まあそういうイベントでお金集めのイベントっていうのもなんかやりやすい雰囲気だったのかなっていうか、
実は
僕らが音楽、今の教会っていうよりかは、なんかどっちかというと公民館的なやっぱり使い方を、
いい感じですね、公民館っていう。実際にこの66年以前から、この小さい、子どもたちを預かるところとか、あるいは遊び場がない、いろいろ立ち込んでいて、遊びが子どもの遊び場がなくて、それで交通事故とかよくあったりしていたんです。でそういうので遊びを作ろうとか、子どもたちを集めた、そういうこうイベントをするとか、預かる運動をするとか、そういうのが盛んに行われていました。でピーターさんは、私はインタビューをするだけでなく、ピーターさんのお宅で、事務所で当時のいろんなドキュメントを見せていただいて、ピーターさんのコレクションを見せていただいたんですが、その中に例えばピーターさんが、行政に ローカルな行政に、子どもたちの遊び場がなくて交通事故がいろいろ起きています。これをどう思われますか。公園を空いているこの場所をそういった公園にすることができますか。この5年間にどれぐらいの事故が起きて、子どもたちが怪我をしていたり命を失ったりしていますか、そういうことに答えてくださいというような、文章を書いて送っていたりして、それを残していたりします。なので、今立石さんがコメントしていた、まさにいただいた、まさに、そういう教会という名前の場所なんですが、地域の人が集まって、あるいは地域の人が、別のオーガナイゼーションのミーティングの場所にして定期的に集まるとか、そういったことを開かれた、場所であって、ピーターさん自身もこうソーシャルスペースというような言い方をしてたりしますが、そういう場所があってノッティングヒルの1960年代いろんな運動が展開をしていくと、それはアンダーグラウンドの活動だけじゃなくて、文化の活動だけじゃなくて、いろんな社会問題をこう解決をしていこうという具体的な活動が、起こっていきます。その両方にぶつ当たっているのがピーター・ジーナさんの活動ということですよね。
この本中には後々に有名なプロデューサーになる人が若かりし日にこの教会でピンクフロイドを見た時に、うん、こういうね、すごい最高だったんだけど、残念だったのはなんかやっぱその保育園とかそういう子供用のホールだったからみんなでこうトリップしてこう最高の音楽にこう飛び上がってんだけど、でダンスとか踊ってんだけど、その横では小さな子供用のテーブルとか椅子とかが置いてあって、うん、そのなんかギャップが面白かったみたいな
話。いい感じですよね、うん、だからこそいろんな人が見に来れたってことでもあるんでしょうね。
日々にこういろんな影響がなんか結構みんなが詰めかけるようなイベントになっていったって、うん、なってますね、はい、
で宣伝もそんな大きな宣伝があったわけじゃなくて、口コミでどんどんどんどん人が集まるようになっていくという、そういう、イベントがあって、そこでピーターさんがピンクフロイドとこう直接に交渉していたり会社を立ち上げていくという、そういうプロセスです。